Our work in Washington. Washington, May 3, 1904. I am grateful to my Heavenly Father for the blessings that He has bestowed upon me since we left St. Helena. In the comfortable carriage which my brethren have so kindly placed at my disposal while I remain in Washington, I have several times gone over the land which has been purchased in Tacoma Park for school and sanitarium purposes. All that I have seen has been most satisfactory. The land resembles representations that have been presented before me by the Lord. It is well adapted for the purpose for which it is to be used. There is on it ample room for a school and a sanitarium without crowding either institution. The fine stream running right through the land is a treasure more valuable than gold or silver. There were many things to be considered in choosing a location for our printing office and our sanitarium. We knew that everything must be in accordance with the light given, and we praised the Lord for guiding us to this place. Our brethren have been waiting for certain business arrangements to be completed before going forward with building operations. I am told that these arrangements have been completed, and we can now go forward in carrying out the plans that have been laid. The way is prepared for the work to advance. For this we are very thankful. The situation here fills me with hope and courage. We know that the Lord desires us to go forward as speedily as possible with the work before us. It is true that the Tacoma Park sewer farm is close to our land, but this farm is to be moved away a mile in an opposite direction. Arrangements have been completed for this to be done immediately. Pipes from our buildings can be connected with the main sewer pipe, and we shall thus have a perfect sewer system. This is most important. The atmosphere around our sanitariums must ever be kept pure and sweet. The instruction given me in regard to our sanitariums on the point of sewerage has been repeated again and again to correct wrong methods. But it has been a hard matter to make some understand. Above all other places, a health institution should have a perfect drainage system, and its air and water should be absolutely free from impurity. Much has been said in disparagement of our land here in Tacoma Park because of the nearness of the sewer farm. But this farm, as I have already said, is to be removed at once to a place a mile away from our land. Will our people not cease speaking of this matter until they have some genuine evil to talk of? We have had very clear instruction regarding the danger of polluted atmosphere to health and life, and we hope never to be guilty of the least carelessness in this respect. No pains or money should be spared to secure perfect sewer arrangements in connection with our schools and sanitariums. Message after message in regard to this matter has been given to those bearing responsibilities in our institutions. I have been plainly instructed that carelessness or neglect in regard to sanitary conditions in the home or in public buildings means a withdrawal of the blessing of God. Special directions in reference to sanitarium arrangements were given to the children of Israel. Everyone was strictly charged to keep his dwelling and his premises clean, lest the Lord, passing by, should see uncleanness and should remove his presence from those who were careless or indifferent in regard to impurity of any kind upon their premises. The contract for the removal of the sewer farm has been signed. The removal of this farm will cost the town of Tacoma a considerable sum, but the town council thinks that it should be done and is willing to do it. The work will be begun at once. The town of Tacoma Park is supplied with water from the stream which runs through our land. The water is first filtered and is then pumped into a tank resting on great iron supports 200 feet high. From this tank, the water is carried in pipes all over the town. Thus we shall obtain our water, and for 5 years the sanitarium will have its water free. At the end of that time, it will pay a small sum yearly, sufficient to cover the cost of pumping the water. Last Sunday, we took a long drive through the district immediately adjoining our land. Sister Daniels was with us, and she showed us the settlements of people nearest our land. We were very much pleased with the appearance of these settlements.
The houses are neat and comfortable and are surrounded with pretty yards.
The places that we saw reminded me of what we saw when we first visited Oakland and San Francisco. Then Oakland was not nearly as large as it is now. It was called San Francisco's bedroom because so many of the businessmen working in San Francisco had homes in Oakland. Tacoma Park might properly be called one of Washington's bedrooms. A great many businessmen live here, going to their work in the city each morning and returning at night to the quiet and retreat of the country. It pleased us to see the comfortable homes scattered through the woods in every direction. We feel greatly favored in having been able to purchase so large a tract of land in this place. It seems as if the place had been waiting to be occupied by our working forces. The work here is to be a representation of the work that can be done in other parts of the South. It is to give a clear representation of the principles of truth held by Seventh-day Adventists. There will be much work to do in various lines, and young men and women of solid worth will be needed who can enter the school as students when the buildings are ready. Wise, experienced teachers will be needed, men and women who can give the youth lessons in business lines and can teach them also to do true missionary work. Lessons from the Word of God are to be given. Nothing is to be neglected that will give a thorough training in right lines. The Bible is to be made the foundation of all study, the basis of the education given. Thus, the students will be taught to build upon the rock. Many in our world do not understand the truth for this time. Our young men and young women should be wise unto salvation. They should know what is required of them. The true motive of service is to be kept before old and young. The students are to be taught in such a way that they will become useful men and women. Every means that will elevate and ennoble them is to be employed. They are to be taught to put their powers to the very best use. Physical and mental powers are to be equally taxed. No part of the living machinery is to be overtaxed or left to become useless. The plan followed in our school here is to be after the order of the plan followed in the school of the prophets. It is to be the earnest endeavor of every one to use the powers that God has given him in harmony with God's laws. Habits of order and discipline are to be fostered. All that is done is to tend to brace nerve and muscle and will to more resolute effort for the harmonious development of the whole being. The power that is exerted by a true, pure life is to be kept before the students. This will aid them in their preparation for useful service. Daily they will grow purer and stronger, better prepared to put on the whole armor of God through His grace and a study of His Word, becoming able to put forth aggressive effort against evil. This is the education that the students are to be given. They are to be taught to use their physical, mental, and moral powers for God. Then they can intelligently appreciate His Word. Morbid complaints and cheerless repining will disappear. They will have no time to think of disagreeable things. The children of rich men will come to realize the use to which they are to put the treasures God has entrusted to them. All will help one another to gain an experience that will make them lights in the world. Angels of God will find access to human minds and will give grace and strength. God will help our youth as He helped Daniel, if they will make the unreserved surrender of the will to Him that Daniel made, and will appreciate the opportunities of growing in understanding. He will give them wisdom and knowledge, and will fill their hearts with unselfishness. He will put into their minds plans of enlargement, and will inspire them with hope and courage as they seek to bring others under the sway of the Prince of Peace. Those who do as Daniel and his fellows did will have the cooperation of God and the angels. They will work out with carefulness the sum of their salvation, God working in them, to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. Faith grasps the hand of infinite power and will not be baffled, and hope maketh not ashamed, but brings joy and strength, turning the future into triumph. Every step is a step of advance in the path marked out by God. The truth revealed in every act of life links up hand in hand with providence, and God's grace is the efficiency of the worker. God has given to every one his measure of power, and we are to use this power in his service. In clear, distinct rays, our light is to shine forth amid the moral darkness. The Christian is to work as a son of God, receiving light from above wherever he is, helping others. No one is to rob God by living to himself.
In the Word of God, there is an unsealed fountain of blessing. From this fountain, all God's workers can draw supplies of grace to give to others, revealing in their lives a clear exposition of the truth as it is in Jesus. But I had almost forgotten that I was talking about the land that has been purchased in Tacoma Park. I am so thankful that our work is to be established in this place. Were Christ here upon the ground, he would say to us, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." John 4, verse 35. We have a work to do in leading precious souls onward step by step. Many will have to be taught line upon line, precept upon precept. The truth of God will be applied, by the Spirit's power, to the heart and conscience. My hopes for this place are high, as they have been in the past when I have entered new fields. The country for miles and miles around Washington is to be worked. We will not talk of what might have been done had the money spent in a few places been used in establishing memorials for God where such memorials are greatly needed. We will turn to the present. We want to present the truth in love and faith and hope and courage. We realize that in order to labor successfully, we must first be worked by the Holy Spirit. Tacoma Park, May 15th, 13, 1904. Our work in Washington. I am grateful to my Heavenly Father for the blessings that He has bestowed upon me since we left St. Helena. I have several times gone over the land which has been purchased for school and sanitarium purposes, and all that I have seen has been most satisfactory. The land resembles representations that have been shown me by the Lord. It is well adapted for the purpose for which it is to be used. There is on it ample room for a school and a sanitarium, without crowding either institution. The fine stream running through the land is a treasure more valuable than gold or silver. Our sanitarium is to have an abundance of water free for 5 years. The school will pay 7 cents for each 1,000 gallons used. Today, our contract with the Tacoma Park Town Council for the removal of the sewer farm was signed, and we can now go forward in carrying out the plans that have been laid. The sewer farm is to be moved 1 mile down the creek. We are to have most excellent sewer facilities. No pains or money should be spared to secure perfect sewer arrangements in connection with our schools and sanitariums. Message after message in regard to this matter has been given to those bearing responsibilities in our institutions. I have been plainly instructed that carelessness or neglect in regard to sanitary conditions, in the home or in public buildings, means a withdrawal of the blessing of God. Special directions in reference to sanitary arrangements were given to the children of Israel. Every one was charged to keep his premises clean, within and without, lest the Lord, passing by, should see uncleanness and should remove his presence from those who were careless and indifferent in this respect. A week ago, we took a drive through various portions of Tacoma Park, and Sister Daniels showed me the quiet and beautiful settlements near our land, half hidden by the natural forest. These settlements reminded me of Oakland, as it was 30 years ago. We feel thankful that our work can be located in such a place. It seems as if this place had been waiting to be occupied by our working forces. The situation here fills me with hope and courage. We know that the Lord desires us to go forward as speedily as possible with the work before us. This work is to be a representation of the work that can be done in other parts of the South. It is to give a clear representation of the principles held by Seventh-day Adventists. There will be much to do in various lines, and young men and women of solid worth will be needed who can enter the school as students when the buildings are ready. Wise, experienced teachers will be needed, men and women who can give the youth lessons in business lines and who can teach them, also, how to do true missionary work. Nothing is to be neglected that will give a thorough training in right lines. The Bible is to be made the foundation of all study, the basis of the education given. Thus the students will be taught to build upon the rock. Many in our world do not understand the truth for this time. Our young men and women should be wise unto salvation. They should know what is required of them. The true motive of service is to be kept before old and young. The students are to be taught in such a way that they will develop into useful men and women. Every means that will elevate and ennoble them is to be employed. They are to be taught to put their powers to the best use. Physical and mental powers are to be equally taxed. No part of the living machinery is to be overworked or left to become useless.
Our school here is to follow the plan of the schools of the prophets. It is to be the earnest endeavor of everyone to use the powers that God has given him in harmony with God's laws. Habits of order and discipline are to be cultivated. All that is done is to brace nerve and muscle and will to more resolute effort for the harmonious development of the whole being. The power that is exerted by a true, pure life is to be kept before the students. This will aid them in their preparation for useful service. Daily they will grow purer and stronger, better prepared, through His grace and a study of His word, to put forth aggressive efforts against evil. Nashville, Tennessee, June 4, 1904. The work in Washington. There were many things to be considered in choosing a location for our sanitarium in Washington and for our training school for Christian workers. We knew that everything must be in accordance with the light given, and we praised the Lord for guiding us to Tacoma Park. The location that has been secured for our sanitarium and school is all that could be desired. The land resembles representations that have been shown me by the Lord. It is well adapted for the purpose for which it is to be used. There is on it ample room for a school and a sanitarium, without crowding either institution. The atmosphere is pure, and the water is pure. A beautiful stream runs right through our land from north to south. This stream is a treasure more valuable than gold or silver. The building sites are upon fine elevations, with excellent drainage. We fully believe that the Lord has gone before us in the purchase of this land, and we shall do all in our power to carry out His will in the establishment of His work in this place. We shall need young people of the very best talent in our work in Washington. We shall need workers who will bring no cloud upon the precious truth we are proclaiming. And we shall need means to erect the buildings that will be necessary for the carrying forward of our work. We know that we are where the Lord would have us, and we greatly desire that the work shall be established at once and in accordance with His will. The message must be proclaimed in Washington, and must go forth from that place to the other cities of the South. God Himself originated the plan for the advancement of His work, and He has provided His people with a surplus of means, that when He calls for help, they may respond, saying, "Lord, Thy pound, not my pound, hath gained other pounds." See Luke 19, verse 16, 18. If those to whom the Lord's money has been entrusted will be faithful in bringing to His treasury the means lent them, His work will make rapid advancement. Many souls will be won to the cause of truth, and the day of Christ's coming will be hastened. Men and women are to be brought under the influence of true, earnest, whole-hearted workers who labor for souls as they that must give an account. All who are baptized into a measure of the apostolic spirit will be constrained to become God's missionaries. If they will be true, firm to the faith, if they will not sell their Lord, but will ever acknowledge the divine supremacy and superintendence, God will prepare the way before them and will greatly bless them. The righteousness of Christ will go before them. He will help them to represent his goodness, mercy, and love. And the glory of the Lord will be their reward. There will be joy in the heavenly courts, and joy, pure, heavenly joy, will fill the hearts of the workers. To save perishing souls, they are willing to spend and be spent. Their hearts are filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. The consciousness of God's love purifies and ennobles their experience, enriching and strengthening them. The grace of heaven is revealed in their work, in the conquests achieved in winning souls to Christ. So God's work in this world is to be carried forward. Faithful stewards are to place the Lord's money in his treasury, that the sick may be ministered unto, that the youth may be trained for service, and that workers may be sent to all parts of the world. The church here below is to serve God with self-denial and sacrifice. Thus, the work is to be carried forward, and the most glorious triumphs won. But ever bear in mind that all the glory is to be ascribed to God. Man is not to take any credit to himself. God's way, if followed, will work out to the glory of his name. The talent of means is the Lord's. Every penny is his. The money we have is not to be used to please our own or our children's fancies. It is to be invested in the cause of God, to furnish facilities for the carrying forward of his work. Something must be done to arrest the attention of the world. Men and women must be led to see the nearness of the end.
There are faithful souls who rejoice that the Lord has entrusted them with talents. These feel honored in becoming his helping hand, and like David, they say with gratitude, "What am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort, to build thee an house for thy holy name?" 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14, 16. Oh, that all the people of God living in these last days would awake to their high privileges. Oh, that they would value souls above money. Can there be a higher work in our world than the work of soul saving? Is there any other work that will bring better results for the investment of means? I fear that many of our people do not realize the importance of God's work. One to whom I wrote for means answered me thus: "I received your letter asking me to lend you some money, but there was a piece of land that the children thought it advisable for me to purchase, and I have invested my means in this land." How much better it would have been for this brother to invest his money in establishing sanitariums, in which witness is borne to the truth for this time, or in schools which provide for our youth the best influences, and in which they can be trained to become missionaries for God. My brethren and sisters, invest your means in the establishment of Christian missions, from which the light of truth will shine forth, drawing souls to God. One soul, truly converted, becoming a missionary for God, will bring other souls to the Savior. God has need of the means that he has lent you. He needs the money that you can spare. Let no man's hand now be slack. Please send us help, that we may carry forward the work that has for so long been neglected. God has said, "Arise and build," and we must obey his word. See Nehemiah 2, verse 20. There should be no delay. The cause of God demands your assistance. I pray that the Lord may impress those who have means to spare to place it in his treasury, to be used to his name's glory. We ask you, as the Lord's stewards, to put his means into circulation, to provide facilities by which many will have the opportunity of learning what is truth. The temptation may come to you to invest your money in land. Perhaps your children or friends will advise you to do this. But cannot you show a better way? Have you not been bought with a price? Has not your money been entrusted to you to trade upon wisely and put out to usury, that when the Lord comes, he may find the talents doubled? Can you not see that he wants you to use your means in helping to build meeting houses and to establish sanitariums where the sick shall receive physical and spiritual healing, and schools which shall be so conducted as to resemble the schools of the prophets? In our schools, the Bible is to be made the foundation of all study. It is to be the basis of the education given. Thus the students are to be taught to build upon the rock. Many in our world do not understand the truth for this time. Our young men and young women should be wise unto salvation. They should know what is required of them. Thank God there are those who will respond to his call, else our work would come to an end. The Lord desires the whole body of believers in America to arouse to a sense of the obligation resting upon them. Washington, D.C. and Nashville need special help just now. Let us seek God on our knees for strength to obey his requirements. Let those who are practicing idolatry by hoarding their talents think of how many are trampling upon the fourth commandment. Let them think of the danger that these souls are in, showing open contempt to a thus saith the Lord. Should they not be warned of their danger? Can those who have heard the word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, afford to ignore his demands? Can they afford to remain in indifference and listlessness, expending their money in harmony with their selfish desires? How can they do this and yet talk of their love for God? Shall we not appreciate his grace and humbly and thankfully submit ourselves to Christ to be used as he sees best? Shall we not bow before the cross of Calvary, seeing the magnitude of the sacrifice made, and opening our hearts to him in thanksgiving, saying, Lord, I give thee all I have and all I am? Let not those who know the truth spend money for ornaments or outward display of any kind. Our lips should ever be ready to repeat with profound gratitude the fervent acknowledgement of our hearts. He gave his life for me, that I should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have I followed my Savior in self-denial? Have I returned to God the gifts entrusted to me, to be used for his glory?
Let us cut away every selfish indulgence that calls for an outlay of means, large or small. The work of God is now to be established in Washington. Means will be needed to erect a sanitarium. The building is to be plain and inexpensive. We would not waste the Lord's money by unnecessary display. Look at the life of Christ. He stooped from his glory to the humility of poverty. He was the majesty of heaven, yet he declared, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Luke 9, verse 58. May God help us to be converted. May he help us to realize that all our possessions are his, lent to us to prove and try us, to see if we will act as children of God. Let us be converted without delay, or we shall never, never dwell in his presence. God's word to us is, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be ye perfect. Ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and I have severed you from other peoples, that ye should be mine." Genesis 17, verse 1. Leviticus 20, verse 26. Tacoma Park, Washington, July 20th, 1904. I wish to express my gratitude to my Heavenly Father for the work that is being done on the school land here at Tacoma Park. A day or two ago, I drove over the ground with my son and Brother Baird. They explained their plans to me and showed me the buildings going up. All who were on the grounds seemed to be working diligently and disinterestedly. Last Sabbath, I spoke in the Tacoma Hall, which was well filled. I spoke from the 15th chapter of John, and my own soul was refreshed as I dwelt upon this important subject. A number of the citizens were present, and the owner of the hall was there also. On Sunday, I spoke in the M Street Memorial Church to the company of workers who have gathered in Washington to hold tent meetings and to do Bible work. My heart is filled with a longing desire that all who connect with this important work shall themselves have a daily experience in the things of God, that they may fill the place assigned them in the way that will win the Lord's approval. They are to be thorough in all that they do. On this point, we cannot be too urgent. Each worker should feel that he is on trial, and should strive to do his work in such a way that it will stand the test of the heavenly watchers. We have excellent workers engaged on the work on the school ground. Brother Baird, who has charge of the building operations, is a man of much skill in building, and he knows how to deal with mines. If the workers will walk and work with God, they may have a precious experience meeting every day, for the Lord takes a special interest in his faithful workers. The work that they are doing is the Lord's work, and his angels around about them. We certainly see the hand of the Lord in the establishment of the work in this place. The message received is that many years ago this work should have been done. The call for help that is being made should have been made long ago. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. Exodus 25, verse 1 to 3 and 8. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whose spirit made him willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. Exodus 35, verse 21. The work went forward according to the word of the Lord. A sanctuary was built that could be taken from place to place, that in all the travels of the children of Israel, the knowledge of God should be made known. We would now stir up the minds of our people in America to give willingly to the work that is being carried forward in Tacoma Park. A school and a sanitarium are to be established in this place. A building in which public work can be done is to be erected. As soon as possible, school and sanitarium work should be set in operation. We hope that no one will become weary in the special effort that is being made to erect memorials for God in this important place. No slack, slipshod work is to be done. The means that is sent in should be used in the most careful, economical way. All our churches should show an unselfish interest in this work, doing all in their power to hasten it forward. If there are those who are tempted to be extravagant in dress or in other things, let them restrain their desires, and remember that God calls upon them to show a special interest in the buildings that are being put up at Tacoma Park. Let them be careful not to be set an example that would lead others to extravagance. The buildings are to be put up and furnished without display or an unnecessary expenditure of means.
The Lord expects His people to take hold of this work with willingness, with a ready mind, even if it requires some sacrifice on their part. He is willing to give wisdom to those who are engaged in the erection of the buildings and to those who shall be chosen to carry forward the work in these buildings. He now asks his people to offer willingly of their means, that the work on the buildings may be brought to completion. God will surely bless those who will heed the command, "Arise and build a memorial for me in Washington." Let all his people take an active, unselfish interest in the advancement of the work that the Lord has declared should be done. Let no one yield to selfishness or give with a grudging spirit. Give liberally that the work may make rapid advancement. Recently, our brethren have been able to purchase lumber at a very low price,
How glad I am that they had the money in hand and were able to take advantage of so favorable an opportunity to save money. For every such favor, we will thank the Lord. Those who are working on the ground show a willingness to do their best. We pray that the Lord's blessing may rest upon them all, that everything may be in accordance with His will. As the work advances, the workers will gain great blessing in seeing that the Lord answers the prayers ascending to Him. His name is to be glorified. His truth is to find standing room here. The Lord God of Israel is in the work in this place, and we acknowledge it. As I read the directions that were given to the children of Israel regarding the building of the tabernacle, I feel sure that the work will be established here in Washington, for God has said that it is to be. This place is to show forth His praise. An appeal for help. We fully believe that the Lord has gone before us in the purchase of this land, and we shall do all in our power to carry out His will for the establishment of His work in this place. We shall need young people of the very best talent in our work in Washington. We shall need workers who will bring no cloud upon the precious truth we are proclaiming. And we shall need means to erect the buildings that will be necessary for the carrying forward of our work. We know that we are where the Lord would have us, and we greatly desire that the work shall be established at once and in accordance with His will. We know that we are moving in harmony with the counsel of the Lord. Just such places as this must be worked. The message must be proclaimed in Washington and must go forth from this place to the other cities of the South. My brethren and sisters, the Lord has need of the treasures He has lent you. He needs the means that you can spare. Let no man's hand now be slack. Please send us help, that we may carry forward the work that has for so long been neglected. God has said, "Arise and build," and we must respond to His word. There should be no delay. The cause of God demands your assistance. I pray that the Lord may impress those who have means to spare to place it in His treasury, to be used to His name's glory. We ask you, as the Lord's stewards, to put His means into circulation, to provide facilities by which many will have the opportunity of learning what is truth. The temptation may come to you to invest your money in land. Perhaps your children will advise you to do this. But cannot you show a better way? Have you not been bought with a price? Has not your money been entrusted to you to be traded upon wisely and put out to usury, that when the Lord comes, He may find the talents doubled? Can you not see that He wants you to use your means in helping to build meeting houses and to establish sanitariums where the sick shall receive physical and spiritual healing, and schools which shall be so conducted as to resemble the schools of the prophets? We need now to esteem souls above money. If you know of a higher work in this world than the work of soul saving, a work which will bring better results for the investment of means, will you not tell us of it, that we may measure its value? I fear that many of our people do not realize the importance of God's work. One to whom I wrote for means answered thus, "I received your letter asking me to lend you some money, but there was a piece of land that the children thought it advisable for me to purchase, and I have invested my spare means in this land." How much better it would have been for this brother to invest his money in establishing sanitariums, in which witness is borne to the truth for this time, or in schools, which provide for our youth the best influences, and in which they can be trained to become missionaries for God. My brethren and sisters, invest your means in the establishment of Christian missions, from which the light of truth will shine forth, drawing souls to God. One soul, truly converted, becoming a missionary for God, will bring other souls to the Savior.
God Himself has originated the designs for the advancement of His work, and has provided His people with a surplus of means, that when He calls for help, they may respond saying, "Lord,
thy pound, not my pound, hath gained other pounds. See Luke 19, verse 16, 18. It those to whom God's money has been entrusted will be faithful in bringing the means lent them to the Lord's treasury. His work will make rapid advancement. Many souls will be won to the cause of truth, and the day of Christ's coming will be hastened. Men and women are to be brought under the influence of true, earnest, wholehearted workers who labor for souls as they that must give an account. All who are baptized into a measure of the apostolic spirit will be constrained to become God's missionaries. If they will be true, firm in the faith, if they will not sell their Lord for 20 pieces of silver, but will ever acknowledge the divine supremacy and superintendence, God will prepare the way before them and will greatly bless them. He will help them to represent His goodness, love, and mercy, and the glory of the Lord will be their reward. There will be joy in the heavenly courts, and joy, pure heavenly joy, will fill the hearts of the workers. To save perishing souls, they are willing to spend and be spent. Their hearts are filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. The consciousness of God's love purifies and ennobles their experience, enriching and strengthening them. The grace of heaven is revealed in their work, in the conquests achieved in winning souls to Christ. So God's work in this world is to be carried forward. Faithful stewards are to place the Lord's money in His treasury, that workers may be sent to all parts of the world. The church here below is to serve God with self-denial and sacrifice. Thus the work is to be carried forward, and the most glorious triumphs won. But ever bear in mind that all the glory is to be ascribed to God. Man is not to take any credit to himself. God's way, if followed, will work out to the glory of His name. The talent of means is the Lord's. Every penny is His. The money we have is not to be used to please our own or our children's fancies, but is to be invested in the cause of God, to create facilities for the carrying forward of His work. Something must be done to arrest the attention of the world. Men and women must be led to see the nearness of the end. There are faithful souls who rejoice that the Lord has entrusted them with talents. These feel honored in becoming the Lord's helping hand, and like David, they say with gratitude, "What am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort, to build thee an house for thy holy name?" 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14, 16. A great interest should be shown by our people in America in the extension of the Lord's work. They should feel a deep sense of grief and humiliation as they think that the cities that have been kept before them for the last 25 years have not yet heard the message of present truth. There are heathen, as it were, right in our borders, in our large cities. But who has a burden for these unwarned ones? Who is willing to invest their means in the work of enlightening them? Entreaties have been made, but many have listened to the counsel of men not worked by the Holy Spirit. Money has been tied up in lands and worldly enterprises. God has said that the southern field is to be worked. In the very midst of us, there are those who know not God. Their ignorance cries out against those who spend their money in building elegant mansions or in erecting costly monuments over the dead. What help are these monuments to the dead or to the living? What honor do they bring to God? The cries of souls hungry for spiritual food are ascending to God. Many go down to the grave starving for the bread of life and the water of salvation. By His word and in His providence, God has long been saying to us, "Go to their relief with the gospel message." And yet men and women professing to be children of God act as if their spiritual energies were paralyzed. Many are deplorably unready to meet their God. Schemes of their own devising are every day placing them more surely under the cloud of disobedience. Thank God there are those who will respond to his call, else our work would come to an end. The Lord desires the whole body of believers in America to arouse to a sense of the obligation resting upon them. Washington, D.C. and Nashville need special help just now. Let us seek God on our knees for strength to obey his requirements. Let those who are practicing idolatry by hoarding their treasure think of how many are trampling upon the fourth commandment. Let them think of the danger that these souls are in, showing open contempt to a thus saith the Lord. Should they not be warned of their danger? Can those who have heard the word of the Lord, line upon line, precept upon precept, afford to ignore his demands? Can they afford to remain in indifference, expending their means in harmony with their own selfish desires? How can they do this and yet talk of the love of God? Shall we not appreciate his grace and humbly and thankfully submit ourselves to Christ to be used as he sees best? Shall we not bow before the cross of Calvary, seeing the magnitude of the sacrifice made and opening our hearts to him in thanksgiving, saying, Lord, I give thee all I have and all I am. To us has been given the most wonderful gift that heaven could bestow. This is a gift of grace. We are the recipients of God's amazing love. Let our hearts melt under a sense of God's goodness and our unworthiness. Let the thought of those who are living in transgression of God's commandments rouse us to earnest effort. Let fathers, mothers, and children thank God for life and for the knowledge of present truth. Let them pray as they have never prayed before, that God will forgive their careless indifference to the welfare of the souls who are perishing in sin, souls purchased at an infinite cost. Let not those who know the truth spend money for ornaments of outward display of any kind. Our lips should ever be ready to repeat with profound gratitude the fervent acknowledgement of our hearts. He gave his life for me, that I should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have I followed my Savior in self-denial? Have I returned to God the gifts entrusted to me to be used to his name's glory? Let us cut away every selfish indulgence that calls for an outlay of means, large or small. The work of God is now to be established in Washington. Means will be needed to erect a sanitarium. This building is to be plain and inexpensive. We would not eat up the Lord's money by unnecessary display. Look at the life of Christ. He stooped from his glory to the humiliation of poverty. He was the majesty of heaven, yet he declared, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Luke 9, verse 58. He gave his life for the life of a sinful race. God's blessings are constantly bestowed upon us, and we are to recognize his grace, respond to his favors, and send back to heaven unfeigned words of thanksgiving and praise. Let us recognize and appreciate every heavenly gift. Oh, how far behind we are in this! Did yesterday pass without our offering our sincere word of thanksgiving and praise to God? Shall we not arouse from our lethargy and keep our souls in the love of God, letting his praise flow forth from our lips? O taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34, verse 8. But do not receive his blessings without feeling a deep sense of the preciousness of his love, which has redeemed us. Too often we are ungrateful and unthankful. Our hearts need to be softened and subdued. Then we shall taste and see that the Lord is good. He that will come after me, Christ said, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark 8, verse 34. But many who were baptized into the likeness of the death of Christ were buried alive. They have never died to self. They are today cringing and bowing before some earthly idol.
They are so far from God that they do not know that they are living in spiritual adultery. May God help us to be converted. May He help us to realize that all our possessions are His, lent us to prove and try us, to see if we will act as children of God. Let us be converted daily, or we shall never, never dwell in His presence. The grace of God can ennoble us, leading us to count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. If we are deficient in this knowledge, let us place ourselves where we can obtain it. The fundamental principles of God's government are His highest concern. He cannot and will not forgive sin at the expense of His justice, His holiness, His truth. But He assures us that there is no sin He will not pardon if we repent and ask forgiveness, presenting the efficiency of Christ's merits. He is our mediator. There is no other name given under heaven by which men may be saved. His name is our passport to the throne of grace.
God's word to us is, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be ye perfect. Ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other peoples, that ye should be mine. Genesis 17, verse 1, Leviticus 20, verse 26. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Colossians 2, verse 9-10, Titus 2, verse 14. The work in Washington. The Lord calls upon His people in every state in America to come up to His help in the establishment of His work in Washington. Those who have this work in hand are to show no lack of interest in it. And our people are to remember that for the present, the work in Washington is to be our first interest. There are many lines of work to be carried forward in different places, but our first interest just now is our work at the capital of our nation. We are to center our minds for the present on the work that needs to be done at Washington. Daily our petitions are to ascend to heaven for the success of this work, that it may move forward rapidly. The Lord of Hosts gave special direction that the publishing work done in Battle Creek should be transferred to Washington. The directions were so plain that we could see that there must be no delay. And since we have moved forward in obedience to this word, we have had evidence that the Lord has prepared the way at every step for the establishment of important interests at Washington. Thus far, He has helped us in a way that leaves no room for anyone to doubt or question. Let the work in Washington move forward. Let everyone act his part in self-denial and self-sacrifice. Our people are not to wait for more appeals, but are to lay right hold of the work, making those things which appear impossibilities, possibilities. Let each one ask himself, has not the Lord entrusted me with means for the advancement of His cause? Has He not bidden His servants in Washington arise and build? Shall I, at this time of great importance, withhold my means, which God asks me to invest in raising up memorials for Him? Let us be honest with the Lord. All the blessings that we enjoy come from Him, and if He has entrusted us with the talent of means that we may help to do His work, shall we hold back? Shall we say, "No, Lord, my children would not be pleased, and therefore I shall venture to disobey God, burying His talents in the earth"? There should be no delay. The cause of God demands your assistance. We ask you, as the Lord's stewards, to put His means into circulation, to provide facilities by which many will have the opportunity of learning what is truth.
The temptation may come to you to invest your money in land. Perhaps your friends will advise you to do this. But is there not a better way of investing your means? Have you not been bought with a price? Has not your money been entrusted to you to be traded upon for him? Can you not see that he wants you to use your means in helping to build meeting houses, in helping to establish sanitariums where the sick shall receive physical and spiritual healing, and in helping to start schools in which the youth shall be trained for service, that workers may be sent to all parts of the world? God himself originates the plan for the advancement of his work, and he has provided his people with a surplus of means, that when he calls for help, they may cheerfully respond. If they will be faithful in bringing to his treasury the means lent them, his work will make rapid advancement. Many souls will be won to the truth, and the day of Christ's coming will be hastened. God will prepare the way before his faithful people and will greatly bless them. The righteousness of Christ will go before them, and the glory of God will be their reward. There will be joy in the heavenly courts, and joy, pure, holy joy, will fill the hearts of the workers. To save perishing souls, they are willing to spend and be spent. Their hearts are filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. The consciousness of God's love purifies and ennobles their experience, enriching and strengthening them. The grace of heaven is revealed in the conquests achieved in winning souls to Christ. So God's work in this world is to be carried forward. The church here below is to serve the Lord with self-denial and self-sacrifice. And the most glorious triumphs are to be won.
God's word to his workers in Washington is, "Arise and build." Nehemiah 2, verse 20. And his word to his people in all the conferences is, "Strengthen the hands of the builders." The work in Washington is to advance in straight lines without delay and hindrance. Let it not be kept back for lack of means. The workers in Washington will advance with steadfast courage just as fast as the Lord's people will furnish them with means. Let every church in every place act its part cheerfully and willingly. I know that the people of God desire to act their part nobly in advancing his work in the world. God extends his favor to us daily, and we are to regard it as a privilege to show that we are in harmony with the work now being done at the capital of our nation. We have no time to lose. The bounty that God daily bestows upon us makes a direct and forcible appeal to us to respond to the goodness and love of God by placing all that we have and are upon the altar of sacrifice. We must be co-laborers with God. He calls upon us to engage in his work, to return to him a part of that which he has bestowed upon us. He has made us his helping hand. Our self-denying benevolence, our willing offerings are to give evidence that the truth has been doing its work upon our hearts.